I'll be reading from the latest edition of the New International Version. Verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
The focus of this morning's message is worship. And it should come as no surprise that the focus of our worship is Jesus. Hey, it's Christmas time, and so we ought to be reflecting on Jesus. Last time I spoke about the wise men and Herod and contrasted the wise men with Herod. And this morning I return to the same passage to look at the wise men again and to look specifically at their gifts, the gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus. For they provide us with an insight, keys to understanding who Jesus is and what he has done for us. They also inspire our worship. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that as we look at your word this morning, that you would speak to us, that you would speak to our situation, that you would help us to know how to respond in love and worship to you, our Lord and our God. Amen. So I wonder how you're going with your Christmas gift shopping. It's the season for choosing gifts and buying them and wrapping them up and giving them to our friends and family and colleagues. I know that some of you have already given and received gifts, and it's definitely the silly season upon us. Do you enjoy the excitement of the shopping? Do you enjoy the excitement of the sales and the buzz that's at the shops? Some people love it and some people hate it. Some people would do all their shopping online if they had the opportunity. Do you enjoy the thought that goes into selecting what gift would be particularly appreciated by your family, by your friends? Being thoughtful about it? Or is it something that you just get over and done with as soon as possible? We all enjoy gifts. We all enjoy receiving gifts, and we all enjoy when someone's face lights up as they receive a gift that you've thoughtfully chosen for them. The most famous gifts are the three gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus. And I wonder if they had any idea about how this multi-billion dollar industry would grow from their gifts that they brought on that very first Christmas. I was reading that $14 billion will get spent in Australia this Christmas. That's a bigger number than I can imagine. A very big time of year. And so these wise men came a long way, came from afar, to bring their gifts to Jesus, to worship him. It was a long trip that they made. It was a trip that they had to plan. It was a trip that was perilous. And they came to present their best gifts to Jesus. On Facebook, I've enjoyed being a bit provocative this week and suggesting that we shouldn't go into debt for Christmas gifts, that that teachers will often report back, the conversations they have with their students at the beginning of the new year, when they talk about the highlights of Christmas for them. They talk about trips to the beach, or when they're allowed to stay up really late, or visiting family, things that might have gone wrong. Rarely do the kids talk about the present that they unwrap on Christmas morning. It's the time that we spend with our kids that is really memorable. And I wonder, as you think back to Christmases that you enjoyed as a youngster, what are some of your most special memories of Christmas? For time spent, attention given, is perhaps the greatest gift that we can give to someone, to be there when we are needed. Which is, I think, the first gift that the wise men gave to Jesus. Like, we'll come to the three gifts in a moment, but I think the first gift was the gift of time, that these wise men made time out of their lives to worship Jesus. Time is precious. Every one of us values our time. We know how valuable it is. And so are we willing to sacrifice time to worship Jesus? Are we willing to make time? Are we willing to make the effort, just like the wise men did, to make the effort to plan their trip and then to travel all those hundreds of kilometres to be with Jesus? They made great sacrifices. As I have been planning for my Christmas holidays, I've spent a lot of time over the last 6 months choosing accommodation, choosing routes, choosing where I'm going to go for my holiday in January. I've spent time praying with my son Joshua that everything would get organised in time, that the organisation would go smoothly. So I think about the effort that the wise men went to. They didn't have Google. They didn't have Expedia. They couldn't just buy their arrangements online. They put a lot of effort into being with Jesus, to sit with him, to be with him. And so as we embrace this busy time of year, the challenge is for us to make time to be with Jesus, to make time to worship him, to make time to listen to him, to make time for prayer and reading God's word. And as Christmas time passes and things relax, the challenge is real in that season as well, to make time for Jesus, to be with him, to be present and to worship. So the first of the three gifts that the wise men brought was the gift of gold. And this is the gift of a king. Gold was the most precious metal known at that time, and so it was symbolic of royalty. When the wise men came to Jerusalem, they asked around for the king of the Jews. They recognized that Jesus was born with this destiny, that he would be the king. And so they brought this gift symbolizing royalty. They recognized that Jesus was no ordinary baby. They didn't want to hold baby Jesus. They didn't want to cuddle him. But they knelt down and they worshipped him when they saw Jesus. They recognized his authority. The climax of Matthew's gospel, as he goes through the life of Jesus, is the account of Easter and the crucifixion. No less than four times is Jesus referred to as the King of the Jews at the end of his life on earth. This question of the authority of Jesus is of a primary concern for Matthew as he explains to us who Jesus is, that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We live in a democratic country and we take our democratic freedoms very seriously. In the classroom, it's not unusual for kids to say, "You can't tell me what to do. This is a free country." And so it's easy for us to forget the authority of Jesus and to make him, treat him as king of our lives. This first gift of gold reminds us to recognize Jesus for who he is. I was thinking about this authority of Jesus and thinking about who do we submit to? Who is the boss of our lives? There might be someone who's bossy at home and you do what they say. It might be at work you have a boss or even a colleague that for whatever reason you do what they say. Jesus is rightfully king. He's the creator of the universe. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. He is king. He is divine. And so we are obliged to treat him as king and give him and his will for us the first priority in all our decision making, in everything that we do. Now, the way that we spend our money, the way that we spend our time, all the choices that we face. The thing about kings in the Old Testament was that the kings would always demand taxes. I imagine that you and I wouldn't even think twice about paying our taxes. It's just something that you do. It's an obligation that we have. How much more do we owe to King Jesus when we think of our life? That everything he has given to us is a gift. Our work, our financial situation, our money, these things are given to us not simply for our enjoyment, but they're given to us by Jesus. And so he deserves the first portion of all that we have. The gift of gold symbolizes the sovereignty of God. That he is Messiah, that he is Christ, that he is King. He is Lord and he is Master. He is ruler and authority. We sing about these things, and the challenge for us is to live and to remember to live as if these things are true. That when people look at our lives, the truth of who Jesus is would be evident. And as we approach life, that we would remember that Jesus is the ruler of our lives. That's the first expression of worship. Well, the second, to spend time with Jesus. And secondly, to treat Jesus as King, Christ and Messiah. The second thing that the wise men brought was frankincense. Now, I'm not sure if you know much about frankincense. I didn't know much about frankincense, so I've been doing a bit of Googling this week. Frankincense represents the priestly function of Jesus. Frankincense comes up at least once in the Old Testament. In our call to worship, there was mention of Jesus pitching his tent among us. That word in the Gospels is the word tabernacle, to be present with God, to be present with his people. And that's in the prelude to John's Gospel. So I did a word search on the word frankincense to see whether frankincense came up in the Bible. And frankincense is mentioned in Exodus chapter 30. So this morning I was interested to know the context of Exodus chapter 30. And so Exodus chapter 30 is the fourth chapter that starts with Exodus 26. And Exodus 26 is all about the tabernacle. It's all about the tent of meeting, where God would meet with his people, where God would meet with the priest, where atonement would be made for sins. It's interesting, we've just talked about gold. And gold comes up a number of times in chapter 26, 27, 28, 29, and 30. They were to make an altar, chapter 27, and the altar would be where gifts would be made, and the altar was to be covered in gold. And then the priests were to have turbans, and on the front of their turban would be a gold plate, Exodus 28, 36. And on this gold plate would be the words, "Holy to the Lord." For the whole of the exercise of the tabernacle was to represent the holiness of God and to make amends for sin, so that there would be connection with God, that our sin would be dealt with, and that we could come into God's presence because of the worship and the sacrifice of the priest. Now, frankincense comes up in chapter 30 because frankincense is one of the ingredients in incense. Now, I've never been to a church where incense was a really big deal. Once when I was in year 9 at school, we went to a funeral of one of the fathers of one of my friends at school. And the priest waved incense up and down the church as part of that funeral. I remember my brother-in-law going to a church up at the entrance, an Anglican church where they had incense. He was just a child, and he said in a voice that was a little bit too loud, "What's that funny smell, Mum?" I understand that the family didn't go back to that church for many years. Incense is something which represents the presence of God. The priest was invited to burn incense, or commanded to burn incense, every morning on the altar as a symbol of the presence of God. We see this in Exodus chapter 30. And the way that this incense was to be blended or made, one of the ingredients was frankincense. And if anybody copied the recipe, if they wanted to have some incense to burn at home because they thought they liked the smell, or they wanted to sort of just remember what was happening in the tabernacle, that person was to be cut off from the nation of Israel. They would be sent away. Because that was the holiness of God that was being emphasized by this particular incense. And so as the wise men come into Jerusalem, they come to Bethlehem with their gifts of frankincense. This was a controlled substance. They were making very bold religious statements about who Jesus is when they offered him this frankincense. Jesus was to save his people from their sins. Jesus is the only one who can save us from our sins. Now, in chapter 1, we read that Mary was to give birth to a son, and she's commanded, "You are to give him the name Jesus." Matthew 1:21. "You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." Now, the footnote in the NIV says, "Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua, which means the Lord saves." That was who Jesus was. He was to be our Saviour. There's a lot of false religion today. People trying to appease for their guilt, appease for their sin. People trying to connect with God. People trying to pursue spirituality in all different ways. When I was doing my Google search on frankincense, I discovered that it's used these days in white magic. And people will use it today in religious ways for magic and spells. And so the gift of frankincense reminds us that Jesus is our priest. Jesus is the only priest today. Jesus is the only way for us to be free of sin and guilt before our Heavenly Father. And so what does that mean for our worship? It means that we remember our Saviour, that we remember Jesus. Just as the incense was a symbol of the presence of God, we make space to remember the presence of God in our lives this Christmas and in the days ahead. We take time for prayer. We take time to read the scriptures. We take time to read quality books or quality blogs or quality emails that will point us towards Jesus, and that Jesus would point us towards our Heavenly Father. To remember that he is the one High Priest and he is our Saviour, and he alone allows us to know God personally. He alone allows us to be able to spend time with God. And how would Jesus save us from our sins? What would be the mechanism of Jesus doing that? Well, that was the third gift of the wise men. The gift of gold, the gift of incense. They could, from Exodus 30, we can see that they're both religious gifts. Gold was important in the temple. Gold was important in the tabernacle. Gold was important for the priest. It reminds us that Jesus is king, but there's also a religious connotation to that. And the frankincense certainly focuses on the religious and the spiritual side of life. But the third gift is a little bit more left field. The third gift that the wise men brought is a little bit more unexpected. Because the third gift, the gift of myrrh, speaks of death. Myrrh is a gum-like substance that's used to embalm the dead. It also comes up a couple of times in the crucifixion. Myrrh was used as a narcotic to dull the pain. We read that they offered to Jesus wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it in Mark 15. Instead of tasting the myrrh to numb his pain, Jesus tasted death. And it was also used at Jesus' burial. Nicodemus, you remember Nicodemus from John chapter 3, where he came and asked Jesus about eternal life. And we get John 3:16 from Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. So Nicodemus, a man who had earlier had visited Jesus at night, brought a mixture of myrrh, aloes, which weighed about 75 pounds. And so the wise men brought a symbol of death to Jesus at his birth. No longer would it be rams and goats and lamb that would be sacrificed for sin, but Jesus would be the sacrificial lamb given for us that we would be forgiven. Now, these days in our society, we try and minimise the impact of death. We try and avoid it at all costs, and we prefer not to talk about it. We prefer, when someone dies, to talk about another star in the sky or an angel in heaven. Or we talk of a vague hope of people being in a better place. Sometimes we'll talk about someone being asleep. It's interesting, as you hear in the media about death, sort of the best people hope for is to be able to die in their sleep. Because I think deep down people are terrified of death and the thought of their own mortality. And so the wise men bring this symbol of death to Jesus as a gift. Now, if you're going to a baby shower, you don't want to take along myrrh. It's so out of character, so unexpected. Now, people love Christmas time. They love the gifts of Christmas time. I'm going to go back a couple of slides. They love the presents. They love the meals. They love the good times. I think at Christmas time, there's more emphasis on Jesus than there is at Easter. We prefer the nativity scenes of baby Jesus. And yet, apart from showing us who God is and showing us how to live a Christian life, so much of what the wise men brought to Jesus ultimately pointed to Easter, ultimately pointed to where all these things would work together for our salvation and for our good. And so myrrh reminds me of the eternal life that was bought through Jesus' death. It reminds us, as we worship God, to have an eternal perspective, to think about our actions and to think about how they will count for eternity. Jesus would teach, store up treasures in heaven. Don't store up treasures on earth. Before the emphasis on Christmas gifts and Christmas giving, we can pursue gifts, we can pursue our own enjoyment. We can even pursue the enjoyment of others. But if any of those things don't come under the lordship of Christ, if any of those things don't reflect the spiritual reality of this world, if we live our lives thinking that this number of years that we enjoy on earth in this part of our lives is the only focus of our lives, then we're not storing up anything for heaven. We have the opportunity, as we follow what God wants us to do, to be storing up for ourselves a great treasure, building up a great treasure chest of what we've done in response to what God has done for us, that we can worship and we can celebrate for eternity. When Christ died, he purchased for us eternal life. And so when we have that eternal perspective, it brings our present life into perspective, into proper perspective. It's a bit depressing to be talking about death at Christmas time when Jesus was born, and yet to remember that Jesus offers us eternal life, that he will stand there at the end of our lives and welcome us into eternity. It should fill us with great joy. When we contrast that with the fear that most people have of death, we have a real assurance of God's love and peace and joy. And so in all that we do, we don't count our identity or our job or our wealth or how much we can spend on presents. But we remember the eternal destiny, the eternal life that we have, and we allow all that to be brought into proper perspective. So our wise men, they brought these four gifts to Jesus. They brought their time and their effort. They brought their gold, recognizing the lordship of Christ. They brought their frankincense, worshipping Jesus as priest, who would bring in the very presence of God. And they brought myrrh, remembering that Jesus would die a sacrificial death, that we would have eternal life, that our life would start now and go forever. And so my prayer is that that would inspire how we worship God, that we would worship him as Messiah and King, as priest and Savior, as the one who is the first to enter into eternal life. And so we bring our lives to worship God. And I'm not sure if we sing this song here at FBBC, but let me finish with these words. This is my desire to honour you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. With all I have within me, I give you praise. With all that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Amen.
Well, before we ask the music team to lead us in the final songs of praise, I've got an announcement here. As part of the Christmas season, we have a caroling event on the 22nd of December. That's a Saturday, 22nd, starts at 7. This is an initiative of the young adult group, so we are really thankful that they have decided to give us this caroling event. And so, yeah, please put it in your calendar. We'll now ask the music team to lead us in the final song, and after which we will ask Reverend View to give us a benediction.
Please rise for the last song, Three Kings.
Yes.
Jesus, we pray that we would worship you for who you are, our King, our God, our priest, the eternal one. I thank you that you've revealed yourself to us. May we live for you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.